Welcome, everyone.
We're getting close to the beginning of our city council meeting for this March 24th. Let's call the meeting to order and begin with a Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. Oh, we have to do a roll call first.
Thank you. Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
And the record will reflect that Councilmember Sturdivant is absent.
Thank you. We have the approval of the agenda, and I, upon the recommendation of Councilman Fonzie, which was an excellent suggestion, will move item C2 ahead of item C1, and if there's no objections to that, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno. Roll call, please.
Yes. All right, Councilmember Fonzie. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations, so we'll move on to our consent calendar, which are items considered to be non-controversial and can be voted on by just a blanket motion by the council unless any member of the public or council wishes to poll. Seeing no one making that suggestion, I'd entertain a motion.
Move consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. A roll call, please.
I think it was Mayor Pro Tem, was it Moreno made the motion?
I'm sorry. Well,
and Councilmember Fonzie made the motion.
Well, just do what you heard, not
okay,
what I say.
Will do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just not what you say, huh?
Yeah.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have updates from our city manager. However, our city manager is out of state, and I believe Chief Haley will be covering that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to just make sure that we're all kind of clear that Chief Stone is going to be our acting city manager still. I'm just the mouthpiece for the city manager's update tonight. So we may, from time to time tonight, defer to one another if we need to clarify any issues that come up. So I do want to give you just a quick update on a couple of things going on in the city tonight. You'll recall that last year we passed a half-cent sales tax in the city that was specifically designed to address some of the issues with our roadways. And we are in the process now of kind of carrying out the provisions of that. The city's forming a citizens' oversight committee, which will annually review the revenues and expenditures from the collection of the tax. The committee is designed to have 9 members. 7 of those members are going to be appointed by individual Atascadero community groups, and the remaining 2 members of that committee will be appointed by council. This Thursday, March 26th, starting at 6 p.m., right here in the council chambers, we're going to convene a meeting of some of Atascadero's community groups to begin the process of discussing how do we go about appointing these members to that committee. We'll meet here in the council chambers. Hopefully it'll all go very smoothly and we'll have some answers very quickly. Soon after that, in the April, one of the April meetings, the council will be taking their opportunity to appoint the final remaining 2 positions to that committee, and hopefully we can start addressing some of those roadway issues with the community's input shortly thereafter. The sign update, we're also right in the middle of that, and you see on the screen just one example of a great new sign we have in town, Scotty's Barbecue. Since Jerry Clay's not here, let me just say that Scotty's Barbecue is amazing, and if you haven't been there and had a tri-tip sandwich, I recommend that you go. It's way better than anything you're going to find in a city to the south of us. I love it there. The program sign program has been moving right along. We, in addition to seeing some new signs going up around town, have been in contact with a lot of the businesses on El Camino Real that were specifically involved in the business walk and some of the information gathering that we did on this sign ordinance. Right now, the contact with the people and business owners along the El Camino Real and Traffic Week corridors are all complete. We have 155 businesses that have non-compliant signage that we are working with. So we are well underway to contacting them and working through the process with them. Some of the owners and some of the businesses are starting the process of coming into compliance and obtaining permits. We have 2 administrative use permits that have been received already and 4 additional building permits that have been received, one of which has already had the permit issued for new signage. So again, the program is underway. It is progressing just as was planned. And we are already starting to see just some really neat, my hope is that we see a lot more of this type of sign going up. It's very cool, and it makes me hungry just looking at it. So that's Scotty's Barbecue. Stop on in, have a sandwich. Just to let you know, the Police Officers Memorial is coming up. This year we're doing something a little differently. Normally we would always hold it on the Wednesday of Police Officers Memorial Week. But if you're familiar with what's going on that week, we have the Amgen tour that's going to be racing through our community that week, and some of the chiefs of police will be heavily involved in the preparations for that. So we have moved the Police Officer Memorial to May 14th at 10 a.m., and we're privileged once again this year to hold it at the Veterans Memorial here in Atascadero. It's a great location, great opportunity for us to utilize a local site, bring some of the people into town. Maybe they can stop at Scotty's and have a sandwich afterwards. We're going to be sending out invitations real soon to that, making sure that all the council and other dignitaries in our community get those invitations, have an opportunity to come and attend, be a part of the police memorial. And then finally tonight, the Highway 41 pathway project between San Gabriel and Portola, it was scheduled to begin last week. We've had a little slight delay, and I'm not sure if it was specifically that little guy on the screen that was the cause for delay, but it was one of his relatives. We have seen some nesting birds in that area, and we are concerned and want to make sure that when we do a project, we do it right. So we contacted a qualified ornithologist. I'm assuming that's someone who knows about those little birds and will help us identify what the issues might be. The ornithologist is going to monitor the situation, make recommendations for when our construction activities can begin again, and we'll get started probably as soon as we can, right after we know that it's safe to do so. Right now, the delay is expected to go at least until June, unless those birds decide to move on, go to greener pastures somewhere else. But hopefully, as soon as we're able, we'll start that project in June and see the completion shortly thereafter. So, and that concludes the city manager's report for this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. And let me add on to your report on signage. I attended the Chamber Mixer just this last week and was talking to McGee's, Charlotte McGee down there, was very excited about the signage program. She had been working on a new sign and was thrilled that the price had come down considerably for the permit and has arranged to get that up, a very nice sign. Not quite as nice as Scotty's, I don't think, but pretty nice sign she's getting up. And I was thinking, you know, what a great opportunity for our own Atascadero News, who is the most positive paper in the county. This would be a great opportunity to interview maybe a different business person each week and then talk about their experience with the sign, because you've got Scotty's and a new sign, and then you've got McGee's. There's a number of businesses that are taking advantage of this and are excited, and it's working well for them. And it'd be nice to give them some credit for doing the right thing. So that might just be an idea, no charge. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. We did that already. My most favorite time is the community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to tell us about anything on your mind that's under our jurisdiction that's not on the agenda. So please come forward, state your name if you're willing, and tell us what's on your mind. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. My name is Paul Myers. I actually live in the Central Valley. Small town called Exeter. If you know where Visalia is or Fresno, it's a bit south of that. And I had actually applied for your deputy city manager position, which is what kind of brought me out here to check out Atascadero and see and kind of see the sites from that you guys have to offer as far as your downtown and and anything else that's really kind of eye-catching for Atascadero in particular. And then I knew that you guys were going to be having a city council meeting tonight, so I thought it'd be great to come out and check out everything and see the council and the staff and maybe some of the issues that you guys are dealing with on a regular basis. So I really just wanted to come out and see everything that you guys had to offer and everything that Atascadero is and introduce myself as well. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you for coming. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm Dale Gustin. I live in Paso, but I've always been active in all the North County. I'm a retired attorney. Came here in 79 and only retired last year. I want to stay active in things. I go to the city council meetings in Paso Robles all the time. And now I'm going to continue to come here again. I am ashamed to admit this is the first time I've been back in this beautiful building. I was so happy to see Atascadero restored. And it has always been a monumental thing to be admired in Atascadero. The other thing I'm going to do is Frank Meacham has announced he's retiring as first district supervisor. I intend to run for that spot and hope to be elected. And so I'll be involved with you people if I'm successful.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Welcome.
Hello. My name is Paul Rensler, and I represent Atheists United of San Luis Obispo. We have members in Atascadero and throughout San Luis Obispo County. I'd like to remind all of us that we are a diverse community of people with many faiths, as well as those with no faith. It's important that elected representatives represent all of your constituents equally, even those who are not religious. I would like to ask you to raise your head and look around the room at the men and women here in this moment dedicating themselves to working toward improving the lives of the people of Atascadero. As we discuss the best way forward for our community, there can be disagreement and tension and frustration. But Atheists United of San Luis Obispo would like to point out that because we're all human beings, we are much more alike than we are different. We all share the capacity for reason and critical thinking, as well as compassion. In this room, let us focus our shared capacity for reason and compassion, and let our shared concern for the people, and our shared concern for the people of Atascadero. And let us root our policymaking in these values, values that are relevant for all the citizens of Atascadero, regardless of religious belief or lack thereof. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other person wishing to speak? Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Mike Casey. I live here in town. I want to thank you for serving all of us and giving us the freedom to enjoy fellowshipping together. You guys, Kurt, you work so hard in your group, and saw him out last night again, saving lives. And Chief Haley, you guys are on the ball all the time, and I don't mean to frustrate anybody, but we pray for all the folks in this city. And we especially thank you for serving us in the hearts that you have, all of you good folks, and making this such a pleasant place to live. And I am thankful we have freedom to believe any way we want here. I know around this world, not everybody is having that privilege. But I'd like to pray for you tonight and just thank the Lord for your hearts. So if you'd like to bow with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight with my friends, and I thank you for these servants. I ask that you would give them wisdom and discernment as they make decisions for this city. And again, thank you for providing for us a beautiful place to live and the freedom to believe and to trust in you. And Lord, again, to live freely. And again, thank you so much for these folks and the people that they represent. Be with them tonight. Be with them this week and, Lord, all of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing no one approach, we'll close the community forum, bring it back to council. And we do thank all of you for your participation. Next item, we do not have any public hearings, so we're moving into management reports, and we are moving item C2 to the front, as we expect it to be shorter, and it is good news. Chief Stone.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Thank you. We'll make this brief. I do have about 12 slides, though, to review with you. The good news is this is a receive and file report. We have good news to report in that 3 years ago, we were evaluated by ISO. We're going to go over what ISO is and the rating system momentarily and talk about community impacts. We were rated 3 years ago as a four. We dropped, which is a good direction to go, from five to a four. Recently, we've been re-rated at our request because the rules that ISO performs under and what they evaluate has changed significantly. The current rule system that they're using and what drives this numeric value that bases most everyone's fire insurance on has become much more favorable for the fire agencies that are progressive and have strong policies, training programs, communication systems, and strong fire departments along with the water service itself. And so this was beneficial for us to go through the very laborious task of reassessing the city's fire services, water, and communications. So we're going to talk about a few of the highlights. Who and what is ISO? ISO is an independent rating company that contracts with virtually every insurance company in the United States to perform fire ratings and to come up with what's ultimately called a public protection class. And that classification has a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being the best. ISO has evaluated about 48,000 fire departments. And to give you a little bit of an indication as to the spread of the types of departments that are evaluated, the predominant majority of fire departments in California rated come in as an ISO class 5. ISO class 9 is the predominant number of departments countrywide. And then fire protection class 10 is a property or a population served that has no fire protection whatsoever. If I back up real briefly, one of the important things to recognize here, out of 48,000 departments surveyed, 46,000 or so departments have a ISO protection class that's worse than the city of Atascadero, while 810 departments have an ISO class rating that's better than Atascadero. So the ISO classification is the base number that's used to drive the rates. And I'm asked frequently, how much am I going to save? How is this going to save me money on my insurance? I said it's a base number. So they start with an ISO protection class, your insurance companies, when they're underwriting insurance for your property. But there's a number of variables. Sprinklers probably being the greatest variable. Sprinklered homes tend to receive an 8 to 12%. Occasionally, we hear of 13 or 14% savings off the initial premium. The year the structure was built, and then the construction type, and then the roofing material drive heavily the insurance rate. So while I can't specifically tell you this is going to save you $30 per 100,000 insured, what I will show you is some anecdotal information that I received in September of this year. A fire chief from... Sorry about that. I didn't realize that. I copied and pasted a slide with permission from a fire chief from Oregon, and he put together PowerPoint for the California Fire Services to kind of give some anecdotal feedback. Apparently, someone saw his presentation at what's called the Western Chiefs, which was held in Colorado. All of the Western U.S. That are members of Western Chiefs attended. And he gave an example, a class 10 department, and these are numbers based in Southern Oregon and by an insurance company, which I'll put up on the screen here momentarily. An insurance company was willing to run different rates based on the classification if the roofing type, the construction type, the year was constant. So if you'll bear with me, again, this is anecdotal information, and everyone's policy is going to be different. If you're an ISO class 10 or you had no fire protection on a $150,000 home, you would either not be able to get insurance or you'd pay roughly $897 a year. If the department, or if you created a fire department and you had basically a volunteer type department, which was an 8B fire department, your insurance rates would drop to 680, saving 217. With a community of 1,000 homes, obviously that would be a $217,000 savings in insurance policy rates for the community of 1,000 homes. This was reproduced with permission from Oregon State Fire Chiefs Association, and then the numbers I'm quoting are from Country Financial of Southern Oregon. Community savings, if you had 10,000 homes, and you went from a protection class of 9 to an 8B, 9 being a fire department that exists but has a very poor water system or no hydrant system where they're using cisterns or standby type tanks. Then if you move from an ISO class 8 to a 7 and you had 10,000 homes, that would be a savings of roughly $2.7 million. So it does add up. And then lastly, what does this mean to us? Again, from an anecdotal type of discussion. If we are at an ISO class of 4 for a $150,000 home and we move to a 3 in southern Idaho, it's an 8% savings, roughly $40 a year per $150,000 insured. To give you some hard numbers, the water company received a 38 points out of 40. And they rated the distribution, holding, pumping, maintenance, and a number, a host of flow tests around the city. Our dispatch center received a 6.04 out of 10. Dispatch is an integral part of the fire department, dispatching and controlling the units and tracking where the units respond and accountability, firefighter safety, and more importantly, ordering more equipment when we have fires that exceed our capability and we need to order in mutual aid resources. Totaling the 9 different categories, and if any of you remember the presentation I made 3 years ago, this was about 7 categories. 2 new categories have been inserted, with a better point scale favoring the fire department and how they rate the fire departments. And basically what ISO did is they dusted off their very antiquated rating system, which was pretty much based on fire protection theory from the 60s, and they moved it all the way up into the 21st century here. And these statistics are on the city's website. They're also in your staff report. And the fire department's rating is just over 30 out of 50. And to give you a comparison of our neighbors, Tascadero moves to a 3.3x, which is our new rating, while Paso Robles is a 3.3x, San Luis Obispo City is a 2. The majority of the county is 8B, 9, or 10. Morro Bay is a 4. And again, as I stated earlier, the majority of the of California is 5, and the nation is 9. What the report suggests, as it did last time, the city is very, very large, very spread out, with long response times. That hurts us in the overall rating. We're also very leanly staffed, as are all of the other departments within the city, from top to bottom. And that a training facility is highly recommended for the city. We were dinged pretty hard in training because we didn't have a dedicated training facility. Last time we got them to buy off on our back lawn. This time they didn't buy it. And with that, I'd conclude the report and see if there's any questions the council may have.
Thank you, Chief, and outstanding job by the entire department, and we appreciate your leadership. Any council comments? Or Councilman Kelly.
I have a question. I think about a year or two ago, we had an island area in town where the water pressure wasn't correct, and you were working with a water company up in the Chandler Ranch. Did any of these areas get improved that resulted in these numbers improving?
Yeah. The water company was very high to begin with as far as their overall rating because we have a great water company, works well with the city, and provides a tremendous service to the community. However, if you have what they consider, ISO considers substandard fire hydrants, that would be a fire hydrant that can't meet fire flow of at least 350 gallons a minute for 2 hours constant, then that area would be rated down in the old scale was a 9. The new scale would be a 3X. Two areas had poor fire flow. Both areas have been fixed, and one is the Chandler Ranch area, that what they call the Toloso zone. That was fixed, and we exceed the minimum requirements for ISO. They now count those hydrants, and their ISO rating went from, or will go from, a 9 to a 3. And again, the equivalent in today's numbers would be they're going to go from a 3X to a 3. 3X, that X meaning that they had substandard fire flow. Fire department was adequate, but the fire flow was not. We had another area actually right downtown on the top of our, what we affectionately refer to, Sand Hill. The, I'm sorry, the name escapes me now. We had a tank replaced and a new booster pump that was much, much larger and could run higher fire flow in that area was fixed. So that flow zone was repaired or fixed. The only area that we have outstanding from a fire flow issue is at the very end of El Monte, Cineros, I believe is the name of the street, and there's about 8 or 10 homes on that street that have fire hydrants that cannot produce 350 gallons a minute. So they will still wind up with a 3X, which is unchanged. They won't see any change in their rates. That they have been paying that and have been in that situation for years. What the fire department's done to accommodate or to create a workaround for the lack of fire flow is we have a mutual aid, automatic mutual aid comes from county fire to bring in a water tender, as the city doesn't possess a water tender, and they would come in and augment our water if we have a fire in that area.
Okay. Well, that's great news that we were able to make those improvements. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very pleased to see that our ISO rating is going down. This is good news for all the residents. Just a quick question, Chief, about the training facility. You said they wouldn't let you use the lawn area anymore. What exactly are they looking for?
They're looking for a dedicated piece of property where multiple companies' engines can come in and actually train with ourselves and also our neighbors. We currently use the back lawn and the back parking lot area when we're doing multi-company operations, actually including erecting the truck in the backyard. Their concern was the back paved area just was not improved enough. What's interesting is we have numerous roof props. They're hidden because they're awful ugly. And so we can actually simulate flat roofs or pitched roofs, and we actually put roofing material down, simulate fire underneath the roofing deck, and actually cut in what's called ventilation, open those roofs up. We also have forcible entry props, and you know, I think they're being a bit nitpicky. The nice thing is we only lost about a half a point for not having the training facility. For us to move to an ISO class 2, we would really have to address probably a third station and staffing. We're currently at a 3.79, and to move to a class 2, we would have to at least move to a 2.99. So if we had the training facility, it wouldn't move us to the next level. So it's kind of a combination of everything. Staffing being number one, training facility probably number two, with a third station or an additional engine company working out of an existing station would be probably the third.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council comments or questions? Well, thank you, Chief. We're thankful for your effort on that. Next item on the agenda, moving back up to what's listed as item C1, we'll go to the general plan and housing element, an annual progress report, and our community development staff have that.
Thank you, Mayor. The state of California requires all cities to file an annual general plan progress report to the Office of Planning and Research, and an annual housing element progress report to the Department of Housing and Community Development. The purpose of the report is to monitor the city's implementation of the city's general plan, including the city's housing element, one of the required elements to make up the general plan. With that, I'll turn it over to Alfredo, and he'll give you a detailed report, and he has good news as well.
Excellent.
Thank you, Bobby. So, as Bobby mentioned, the state does require all cities to file an annual, all cities and counties do file an annual general plan housing progress report. Again, it's the purpose to monitor an implementation of the general plan and the housing element, and sort of provides a check-in of activities of the community development department as a whole. So we're going to go over what we do as a department, and then go over, you know, what had transpired in 2014, and then sort of give you a look into the future of not only this year, but beyond. So just a general overview, the Atascadero 2025 general plan was adopted in 2002 after an extensive public input process. The general plan is a blueprint for growth in Atascadero. So it's, well, a lot of people refer to it as just set in stone, but it's not. It's a blueprint. Blueprints change as time goes along, as we see fit. Change orders, as I like to call them. But it does provide goals and policies to guide land use decisions and land use decision making and development within the city. So in a nutshell, what does planning do? So planning, we implement the general plan and we implement the zoning ordinance. From that, we process applications for entitlements. So those are sort of permissions to ask for items that need to get done, either conditional use permits or plan developments. The second biggest item that we do is we field calls and counter visits for planning related information. That's mainly pertained to our zoning ordinance. So the general plan is this 30,000 foot level item. The zoning ordinance is about 500 foot level item. So really it's the nuts and bolts of the general plan that's under our zoning ordinance. At times our zoning ordinance can be confusing for not only residents and developers, but for staff as well. It just speaks to the volume and how complex our zoning ordinance has become. We also do what's called a no-cost on-field site visits for new businesses interested in starting up or relocating in the city. So typically that involves a staff planner, a building official, our fire marshal, and whoever else we need out there to really get them going and really help them out. That's a part of our Office of Economic Development, and we provide that at no cost. In addition, we provide no-cost pre-application reviews for entitlements and also review of business licenses. Records for planning and projects and entitlements, we're the record keeper of that. And finally, we do inspections that are required as a part of the project entitlement process. On the flip side, we do have the building division. And so the building division is really there to overview and ensure compliance with the California Building Code, which is the overall arching code for the state of California. So they review plans for building permits. They field calls just like we do, the counter questions in regards to building code and the California building code itself. They also do the no-cost site visits for new businesses interested in starting and relocating. Again, we try to combo those two together and really get businesses a laundry list of what they need to get done and how we can help them start up and operating here in the city. They also provide building inspections that are completed as part of building permits. They do our records requests for our buildings. They also do code enforcement services. And finally, they train to contracts and professionals to understand the California Building Code. So in 2014, the planning division side of things, we received a total of 77 applications for permits and entitlements. So those included new conditional use permits or use permits that were required based on the zoning of a property. We process quite a few conditional use permit amendments. So those are changes that were done to CUPs in the past. And so as the market goes along or as things change, we process those amendments. We also have done administrative use permits, tree removal permits, DRC reviews, that's our design review committee. And then finally, some subdivision maps were filed and completed last year. On the building division end, they received 1,084 applications for building permits. Of those, 1,080 building permits were issued, and so that includes building permits from the previous years. 712 permits were finaled or completed, so all the inspections are done and certificates of occupancy were issued or other just buttoned up for those building permits. And total of our three inspectors, including our chief building official and our two building inspectors, they completed over 5,000 inspections in the 2014 calendar year. So we did have quite a few major activities of development within the year 2014. We had a general plan amendment for the old Atascadero Library site that was completed in December. That is actually now going up for auction the next few weeks as the county moves forward with getting rid of that site and moving it over for development. We did do a substantial zone text change modifying requirements for the 3F Meadows project. We did complete the Highway 41 multi-use trail as mentioned in the city manager's update, so we did have a snafu there, but that's moving along. We did do a conditional use permit for the meal program at Echo, so that was completed in June of 2014, so they're able to continue the meal program, and we'll check back in with you at the beginning of summer to see how they're progressing. And the DRC did do quite a few approvals, two in particular for new restaurant locations within the city. The Korean Barbecue, that's well underway in its construction, and the Westfront Village restaurant site, the permits are also ready to be issued and or they already are issued, and they're going to start construction very soon on that. So we do have some major commercial and residential projects that are in the various stages of either entitlement or being completed. So our major project lists include the Del Rio Road Commercial Area Specific Plan, the Hoff Property Mixed Use, that's located here in downtown, Spring Hill Suites, Eagle Ranch, and the Alps Three Bridges Trail. So I'm going to touch briefly on each project. The Del Rio Road Commercial Area Specific Plan was approved in 2012. That's the Walmart Annex project. The litigation did end in 2014 with the city coming up on top. Walmart did recently announce they're moving forward in February 2015, and we are currently working with both the Walmart folks and as well as the Madonna Enterprises, who now own the Annex site. And this is a department priority project, so we are beginning the groundworks to really get started and get jamming on both the building permit end as well as the road improvement end. So it's a pretty substantial lift from here on out, but you know as well as I do, this is a priority number one in our department to get started and clear them the path to get them as quickly as they can into building this thing. The Spring Hill Suites is currently under construction, so it is to be completed late spring 2015, and they're now officially taking reservations for June 2015, June 1st. So we are now buttoning that project up. We're starting to give them the punch list of items to be finaled. Planning's working on our end as well, so we're beginning that process as right now of finaling that building and seeing it fully completed within the next few weeks. The Hoff Property Mixed-Use Project is located here in the downtown. It was approved in 2013. It's approximately 26,500 square feet of retail and office spaces. Currently, it hosted some temporary uses, including Blades on Ice. However, that has now ended, and so the site will be cleared. And again, we are working with the property owner to go through some of the development issues that are still ongoing, and we're hoping to get this project off and running as soon as we can as well. The Alps Three Bridges Trail was approved in 2015 by the City Council. So the City and Alps is to enter in a Memorandum of Understanding, or an MOU, and we are going to be taking the lead in constructing a trailhead. And so I know Nick has started that initial groundwork working with Caltrans, so we are slowly beginning to move along. But this is a major capital improvement project that we are officially taking over as a part of your direction back in January of 2015. And finally, the Eagle Ranch specific plan. So this is ongoing. It's been ongoing for quite some time, since about 2008. Technical studies have delayed the EIR, and so really we're just trying to make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's before we bring this back in the EIR to get that and hit the streets, as well as have a pretty good complete project for Planning Commission and City Council review. So we are hoping that this draft EIR is available for public comment later this year. So I know we said the same thing last year, but again, this is a very, very technical project with a lot of moving parts, and we want to just make sure that all the information is out there and available before we release an EIR to the public. So the city has implemented, as a part of the general plan, many of the programs and policies that are as included and that were adopted in the 2002 general plan. In your attachment, the staff report, we had a attachment F, and we noted that a lot of the programs are what we considered ongoing. And what that means is these tasks are performed as needed. So if there's a commercial review, we take a look at it, the appearance review manual, that's done as on an as-needed basis. So again, it's done on a project-by-project basis. We may not necessarily need a dedicated staff person to implement the program, but we are implementing the policy as it comes along. We recently did complete some major updates, including the housing element. So the housing element was updated and adopted by the City Council in January of 2015, along with some safety element updates that the state required at the time we adopted our housing element in January. So the general plan does require some attention to some items, and these are the big two items that the general plan has really called out for. The first one is the City Appearance Review Manual. In the general plan, it asked for The general plan envisioned the City's Appearance Review Manual to be sort of the vehicle to implement the general plan, coinciding with the zoning ordinance. We do implement this, again, based on a project-by-project basis. However, the general plan, again, envisioned a much more overarching appearance review manual. So that's just one wheel in the cog of the zoning ordinance, the appearance review, or what we do when we review an entitlement project. Our appearance review manual is quite old, even though it was adopted in 1987. it contains a lot of good design guidelines and policies, but again, they definitely need a refresh, essentially. And what I'm getting at and alluding to is that in the development world, developers, as well as residents who are doing projects, the best thing to do is have what we call certainty. You need to do A, B, C, and D. And that's what we stick to. The more certainty you have, the more business-friendly and development-friendly you are, the easier it is to get projects through. So really, again, that's something to sort of keep in the back of our heads as we move along. The second item is this circulation element update, and that is necessary. It is required by AB 1358, that's the Complete Streets Act that was passed by the state legislature in 2008. So in order to be consistent with the Complete Streets Act, it is going to make the city more competitive for grants for roadway construction and improvements. Recently, the residents did vote for a sales tax initiative to fund road improvements and maintenance. We can use those grants to really pump up our capital improvements. However, we're much more competitive if our general plan is consistent with the Complete Streets Act. So it's a hand-in-hand item. So while there's no real timetable or time frame to update the circulation element, as we move along, if we're going to do any major infrastructure updates when it comes to transportation in terms of programming, that might be the time to work with the Public Works Department and update our circulation element as well to be in compliance with the state law, as well as, again, be more competitive for that grant funding that is available to us. So a second portion and a major component of this review from 2014 is our check-in with our housing element update progress. So it is to monitor implementation of the city's housing element, look at our yearly progress toward meeting our RENA goals, our regional housing needs assessment targets. And so these are targets for the years 2014 through 2019. So we have a total target of 393 units to produce. That's a goal. We don't have to produce that many units, but that is what the state is targeting us to complete. So again, RENA stands for Regional Housing Needs Allocation. It is distributed by SLOCOG for each city. And again, it's a housing target, it's a goal, so it's not required that we are mandated to hit 393 units. But it does two things. One, we have to demonstrate that we have adequate sites for affordable housing. And two, that we reduce zoning obstacles for the production of affordable housing. So this is the income categories that were done for 2014. States just released their new numbers for 2015. So these are about a year old. So the median income for San Luis Obispo County is approximately $77,000. And so, that's what the income categories that we go off of to determine affordability. So in 2014, which is our first year of the 5-year reporting period, we produced a total of 185 housing units. So far for the reporting period, we've produced 2% of our very low, 1% of our low, 126% of our moderate. So we've already reached our goal just in year one. And then we're at 60% of our above moderate or market rate. So we've produced quite a bit of housing units just in this last year. And again, it's really good to see that we're doing that workforce housing pretty well. And that's that moderate and above moderate housing. So we had a 7% increase in issued permits over 2013. The City Council's dormant permit program was the primary catalyst for this, as we mentioned in years previous. 95% of the total permits that were issued in 2014 were part of this program. This program has since ended. Basically, most of the housing tracts that were a part of the dormant permit program have already been constructed or are in the process of being constructed. So that's one of the items that was a big bump for our construction industry in the last 2 to 3 years. So of the total building permits, 90 were deemed affordable. So these were permits that were issued to Dove Creek, West Front Village, Oak Haven, the villas at Montecito. All of these sales prices are considered moderate income. So they're what we considered previously approved projects. So what we're doing is we're taking credit for a previously approved project based on what the county has said in terms of their affordability standards, and we're deeming them as moderate income housing units. So that's why that percentage is so large. In addition, West Front Village produced additional deed restricted for very low and low income units. Those are the duplex units that you're seeing under construction behind the Holiday Inn Express and Jack in the Box. So as far as this year's housing production goes, we expect levels to be consistent or drop off. Again, the big one on the drop-off is that the dormant program has expired, so that accounted for quite a few units. Construction will continue on some of those dormant projects, such as the Las Lomas single-family residences and the Las Lomas townhomes, so that's 35 units. That's actually pre-construction meeting is going to be held on Thursday, so they're going to get going on that. West Front Village is finishing up. Oak Haven's about halfway complete, so they'll be finishing up the second half, hopefully within the next year or two. The Villas of Montecito still going strong, and then the Southside Villas is finally sort of coming up in the rear. So they have a couple buildings that are up, and they'll be hopefully finishing those first few buildings by the beginning of summer. So that's what we have ongoing under construction. Then we have this item called pipeline. So these are projects that we considered shelf-ready. Not shelf ready, but they've been entitled. So the dormant permit program was projects that were shelf ready, that have been purchased, those have been constructed. So it's what I've told folks that come to the counter, it's the easy fruit's been gone, it's been picked. Now it's the harder stuff, the stuff that needs a little bit more water, needs a little bit more TLC to get through the building permits. So the entitled projects that remain but require sub-significant work, either due to market conditions or due to some other aspect. Emerald Ridge is our largest one at 134 units. That's a project that's located between San Anselmo and Del Rio Road, which is sort of beginning to be in that what we consider hot spot zone, especially with Walmart and Annex coming in. We also have the principal mixed-use project. That's actually gone through a DRC review. It's expected to go to Planning Commission on May 5th and will be before the City Council at the beginning of June. The Acacias is back on the market. That was a 44-unit mixed-use duplex triplex project. So again, we've had some interest about what can they do with it, how is the retitlement process going to go, and then we have little smaller fish as they go along. So we were Sario 11 unit PD, Alcantara is a 7 unit PD. We recently met this afternoon with a developer who's purchased some lots off Carrizo Road, that's 12 units, and Cortez Court, that's another 7 units. So those are popping up, and those are what we consider a pipeline. So it's a pretty short distance to get to building permit. Finally, we have what's called future housing production. So these are projects that staff is either processing or beginning discussions of. So these projects have yet to be entitled. The first one and the biggest one is Eagle Ranch. So that, again, needs to go before City Council, and we're hoping to bring that towards the end of the year, if not pushing into next year. The other three are items that have either applications in the door that have just started, or we've opened up preliminary discussions with developers. The first one being the Atascadero Family Apartments, and that's 86 units. This is a tax increment financing project. The Deku Lumber Hotspot Economic Area, and then Long Valley 2 is the last project that's on there. So the Atascadero Family Apartments are 86 tax credit income qualified units located off of Avenida Maria and El Camino Real. They applied back in January. They'll be before the DRC on April 15th. They were awarded $3 million in USDA loans, and they are proposing a LEED Platinum certified building. So again, this is a pretty large apartment complex on the south end of town. We've been actually working with this developer for approximately 8 months so far. So they're ready with their application, and they want to get going as quickly as they can through the entitlement process. The Deku hotspot, this was an identified economic hotspot in previous years from strategic planning. So we've had some interest over the last 2 months about potential coming in for a request for a general plan amendment to do additional homes, as well as some commercial. So this was done up back by planning staff, I believe, in 2012. So this is just an idea that we had come up with, or that our previous community development director had come up with, but we are working with the property owners at this point to come up with something so they can come back to the City Council and present and get some direction on. The last one is the Long Valley 2. So this is located off of Santa Ana Road and Santa Lucia Road. So it is envisioned to have large lot residential product in the RS or residential suburban zoning. Again, these are just initial discussions so far that we've had with the developer. So they're looking to, if you know, they're looking to go ahead and purchase quite a substantial amount of parcels, and it will be quite a bit of a lift to get this done with a lot of time and effort from both planning staff and the developer. So we've met with them actually this afternoon, but this was something of a project that we began initial discussions with the potential developer in July, and so he's looking to move forward, and he wants to move forward now. So these are what we call pipelines. So these are the items that need entitlement that either need to go to the Planning Commission or ultimately need to go to City Council for approval. So these are your projects that you're looking at 3, 4, 5 years down the road in the horizon. So with that, I'm going to open up to any City Council with for any questions they have in regards to the state of the City Planning Department.
Thank you, and we may have a few, so I'll look to the lights, and I see Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
That was good news indeed, so thank you for that very thorough report, Alfredo. I'm curious about the two items, the appearance review manual and then the circulation element. So you were talking about that consistency that is appreciated in the process and makes things go quicker. Are you talking about design standards, or what are we seeing as the necessary step for our appearance review manual to come up to a greater standard, I guess, according to the general plan?
Well, the appearance manual, when I reviewed it, it is a design standard, and basically it gives suggestions on how the city is to look, and that was done in 1987. And we see in there just general ideas, what we want to see our buildings to look like, what we want to see our parking lots to look like. And we're not suggesting any changes. What we are suggesting, though, is consistency in design elements and consistency with telling the developer what is expected. And I think that's probably an internal issue. It's not so much the standards themselves. However, if there are aesthetic needs of the council and they have different desires, then we can visit that. But basically, the appearance manual is the design standard for the city.
Okay, so I guess I wasn't. So what you're really saying then is it is more of an internal issue and making sure that we communicate that properly. Is that why that piece is there?
That's what I'm. Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That helps. And then with regard to the streets, complete streets, where is it that we are right now that is not in compliance to be competitive with the whole complete streets issue and to be able to get grant funding and things like that?
So with the complete streets, it's looking generally, a complete street is looking not just at a vehicular standpoint, but it's also looking to incorporate pedestrians and transit all at the same time. So really it's taking a look at, it's a twofold, looking at our standards and making sure that it implements those items. For the most part, it implements both vehicular transportation and bicycle. We're already doing that, so we're great. Transit is the one item that we may need to look and tweak. And again, it's really just looking at our general plan and making sure that our policies fall in line for that. For the most part, it does. But it's just reiterating that through our standards and through a little bit more policy tweaking more so than anything else. But at the same time, when you do a policy tweak, you need to look at your standards because as Bobby had mentioned, we want to have internally the same consistent line that if this is going to be the standard, then this is what we're going to need to be built. And so that's what Complete Streets is looking for, so for the city of Atascadero, we're looking at El Camino Real, Moore Road, and other identified streets in our general plan. Are they accommodating complete streets? So are they not only accommodating vehicles, but are they accommodating pedestrians and bicyclists for areas that don't have transit? So that's really just, again, making sure that not only does our general plan jive with that, but we have a street standard that does the same thing. Combo those two together. It's just like checking off a box. City of Atascadero, are you in compliance with the complete streets? Yep. City of Atascadero, do you have matching funds? Yep. City of Atascadero, do you have in-kind, staff? Yep. And so that just those little check boxes really then make us much more competitive than we already are today.
And so from what you're saying, it seems like we have the elements. They're just not all pulled together in the format that's required.
That's correct.
Okay. And then the last thing, when you mentioned the Atascadero family apartments, you used the term tax increment financing. Is that the term you meant to use, or is that...
Sorry, it's tax credit financing. So what that is it's an investment for tax credits to reduce the amount of taxes, typically for a corporation or for some very wealthy individuals.
I got a little excited there that somehow it had come back and we weren't familiar. So,
But it is the tool that most nonprofit affordable housing developers utilize, is this idea and concept of the tax credits. We actually have one project, California Manor is one of those, that recently went through that update. I believe it was about 3 years ago, and that's why you saw a whole facade renovation. All that was a part of the tax credit financing. And so with this developer, they have sort of a time frame that they need to meet, and that's going to open up, I believe, in July. So we're really trying to work hard with them, and we've done all the legwork, as I previously said, pre-application reviews and working with those developers to really get a really good cohesive application right off the chute so that we're off and running and we're able to speed up that process for development, provide certainty, as well as provide additional services for developers and residents, and all that is a part of what we already do today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. Good report, Alfredo. A couple of questions. First, about the circulation element update. You said that these would be updated when funding is available. Are we looking at a year, 2 years? Is there any time frame at all?
It's just when the council gives us direction. Our suggestion is if, you know, Public Works has to do a major update in terms of their finance, you know, the master plan for capital improvements, that would be the time to do it as a cohesive unit. Have both departments work together at the same time with the same common goal, and it helps sort of our economies of scale, as I would like to call them.
Well, with the Del Rio intersection needing improvement, do you think getting the circulation element would be of any use or any benefit to the city to have that done prior to grants going out to SLOCOG?
At this point, no, simply because you've already, as a part of the Walmart approval, you've already made that capital improvement project a priority. We've already started our studies. So at this point, you know, we're going to get the TIF fees from Walmart and the annex. So at this point, no. However, other interchanges in the future, yes, absolutely. So those interchanges that aren't necessarily impacted or that are, you know, maybe have some congestion today, but most certainly will be additionally congested in the future, that is something to help us be competitive.
Very good. And you mentioned in passing that the Hoff property will be cleared off by the end of April, completely cleared off?
Yeah, so in terms of its temporary uses, so we have the businesses that are there today that are permanent, such as the Malibu Brew, those though remain, but the temporary uses that were there, the temporary indoor ice skating, as well as its ancillary snack shop, those will need to disappear as a part of the CUP that was approved last year.
Is there a proposal to move them somewhere else, or they're just gone?
At this point, we have worked with the owner of Blades on Ice. We've come in and met with them. He had an idea and concept of where to potentially move. That has evidently fallen through. And we are continually working with Angela from Paradise Snowball to try to get her a better location at this point. So she's working with planning staff right now and the building staff. And whatever shakes out about it, we'll process that.
Okay, very good. And you mentioned that we had 1,084 permits pulled and 712 finaled. This seems like a really large number.
It is a large number.
Yeah. Congratulations, or sympathy, I don't know which, but you're working hard, I can tell.
For the amount of staff that we have, it is a huge number. It's absolutely huge. So it's just, you know, and a lot of it's a mixed bag. A lot of it's over-the-counter. A lot of it's major, a lot of it we consider minor, so your room additions, your patio, your porches, those items. But it is a substantial amount. That the whopping number was the amount of inspections. That's 5,000 inspections. That's done with just three building staff, you know, members. So it is quite a substantial amount of work. And for the staff that we have today, it sometimes can be mind-blowing at times.
How are we, perhaps you can't answer this, but how do we stack up compared to our neighboring cities in terms of finaled and permits?
I don't have the exact information on that. I know we did that last year. We compared our amount of permits, especially our residential permits issued. We started to do some of that legwork as well this year, and we were still coming out on top in terms of number of issued permits comparative to, I mean, San Luis rose substantially this last year, as well as Paso, but overall we were pretty high up there. But I don't have the exact figures in terms of inspections.
Okay, very good. And to back to the Corporation for Better Housing, the 86 affordable units, are these going to be low, very low, moderate? You say affordable, but can you pin it down a little closer?
Yeah, 86 low and very low. So it's they're family apartments, so their apartment size, the various, at this point, the application reads at various apartment sizes, so 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments. Again, they're going to DRC April 15th to review the architecture component, and then from there, based on DRC comments, we'll filter to Planning Commission, and this item will have to go to City Council for approval because they are requesting a density bonus as a part of this project.
And are these what you would call Section 8?
These are not Section 8 houses. So Section 8 is a program for for affordable housing, which is a pretty substantial list that has quite a few wait years. This is a nonprofit developer who typically holds on to these developments. They are restricted, deed restricted for 55 years as a part of the tax credits. And so they basically are kind of, they are an on-site apartment manager, essentially, where they get to screen their applicants and whatnot. So they typically, these types of developments have quite a substantial long list as well of applicants who are income qualified who want to move in.
Now it looks like this will help us with our arena allotment quite a bit.
Yes, if the project is approved, it would actually put a huge dent into our arena numbers, which obviously is a great thing for the city to beat our chest that we're helping out our community with this type of housing, because we do need it for our families that are out there as part of our overall community.
Just two more questions. I know this is a lot, but it is of interest to me in particular. I know that the governor is coming out with some water-saving measures, and this may impact us as well, I have a feeling. Are we going to be able to incorporate that in, or we are already doing that at this point in time?
The California Building Code is actually pretty stringent on water-saving measures that are required as part of new development. Additional water-saving measures, I don't know at this point what is coming out of the governor's office. The city of Atascadero is actually doing a lot of these things already. One of the bigger items that came out was the water-efficient landscape. Guess what? We're already doing it. So we are very, very cognizant of trying to save our water in terms of landscaping and those type of items. Stormwater runoff is another big one, and really trying to go off and do additional groundwater recharge. A lot of these projects are already especially the newer ones, are doing these items that the state is trying to mandate throughout the state. So we're a little ahead of the curve on that.
Last question, and this is regarding our climate action plan, which actually has a lot to do with our commercial development, particularly at Del Rio. I'm wondering if we're going to be able to update our climate action plan as we work on our housing element and check these items off the list so that we can be in compliance.
Yeah, the GHG plan essentially is a living document. So as it comes along, that's what we do, is we check mark it. So it is a document that does require staff time to implement in terms of making sure we check things off, but most certainly it's very similar to what we do at a housing element. And we go in, we check in periodically, and we check off what we've done. So especially with Del Rio Road coming on, I know that's it's a weird concept for most people to grasp sometimes, that having a Walmart X project is actually a greenhouse gas reducer. But with that being said, it is, because it does twofold. One, it's an economic development, huge thing for the city. But two, it is reducing the amount of trips, because as we know, most folks here in town have to go out of town for those type of goods. They either go to Paso or go down to San Luis. So by building something like Walmart, having the annex there, we should have some major tenants as well. We are reducing our overall greenhouse gas emissions. So we will be very thorough and very diligent to make sure we are implementing that document and making sure that we document the items that we have completed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council questions. And I was pleased you brought up about the permit processing. I think as Councilwoman Fonzie alluded to, we were very proud. I used to brag around the county that not only did we process more permits than any other city, we processed more permits per staff person by a very large number. And I think you've continued to have some good work coming out of your department. Gentlemen, thank you. And we have a lot of ladies there doing a lot of the work, I know. Another comment made about the service we provide, I think a lot of times our community forgets, as we are sometimes the bad guys representing some of the rules. And I always say, sorry you live in California, when folks bring up some concerns about a lot of the permit processes. But I think, quite frankly, our staff has done a very good job essentially representing our community with these state agencies. I remember when we took on the Regional Water Quality Control Board that wanted to inspect every one of our 5,400 septic systems in our city at a cost of maybe $500 to $1,000 a year. We again came up with a plan that our staff could maintain and essentially protected our community. We met the standards, but we did it more efficiently and I think more user-friendly. And I think with the stormwater management, it is a lot of work. However, I think our staff have implemented these state requirements and have really protected our community in doing so from a much more less user-friendly approach, I think. So I think that is all good. And again, I'm glad you used the word certainty, because I think that's what we need to continue to work towards, that we're clear in what we are asking from the public and provide some certainty. With that, we've also gone through these projects. The council's already prioritized every project that has been discussed and is on the list, and we've looked at it in terms of what's most cost beneficial, most productive as far as generating revenue, because we know we've got a lot of needs in our community and that's how they're going to be met. So looking at that hotel up there is a top priority. It's moving right along. Everyone has worked hard on that, and that's coming online this summer. Walmart and the whole Del Rio is a major revenue generator. I'm somewhat concerned about Eagle Ranch. I do think that we have had discussions for quite a while, and I think we have discussed that Councilwoman Fonzie and myself were prepared to go work with the county, not only county supervisors, but the county administrative officer, about some of the concerns we had about the finances. I think we're at a point where we're going to need council input sooner rather than later. I know there's been some discussions going on, but I'm concerned that we're not moving ahead with that. And I think we have two opportunities. You've got the Finance Committee with Councilman Kelly and Councilwoman Moreno. We are concerned about how that's going to pencil out. I think before you can really fine-tune the finances, maybe even a trip to the Design Review Committee, where you've, again, got Councilman Kelly and Councilwoman Fonzie, that might be a thought. Maybe we just need to get it back to council sooner. But I think we're all ready to go to work on it. But I'll leave that to your judgment. We aren't going to, we can't give you any direction here tonight. It's not agendized. But I just express my concern that it may need to get back to council sooner rather than later and get some input to keep that moving forward. So I just leave you with that thought. With that, I'm going to open it up to the public if anyone would like to comment on this item.
Yes, Dale Augustin, as I said, I'm from Paso Robles, but because of your efficient planning department, Paso Robles stole your planning director.
And but you notice we're not laughing.
No, because it was because of the excellent job he did here in Atascadero. And so he's working out well there, and we thank you from Paso Robles for not fighting too hard to keep him. But anyway, I am impressed with the report. I looked at it, and the thing that concerns me is the same thing that Paso's dealing with, and that is the circulation in the roads. And it's as money is provided, Both cities have passed sales tax increases to take care of that. But it takes time for that money to come in. But I got to say, Atascadero is ahead of Paso Robles on the quality of their roads. They really are quite a bit, and I'm impressed with that. On the housing, I think that the report is a pretty good report on how Atascadero is doing and how we're meeting the needs of the people on in Paso. They use a different saying, workforce housing, but it's the lower income housing that has been hurt in the recent years, because this North County, all of the county, is ideal for people to move here. And so it's pushed the price of housing up quite a bit. And so to provide housing that is not exorbitant in price has been a real challenge to all of Atascadero and Paso Robles and the North County. And if elected, which I hope to be, I'll be glad to work with you and Paso Robles on trying to solve that problem.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment. Not only did Paso have to come here for their community development director, they actually got their mayor from Atascadero, too. But that's okay. We've got good folks we grow in Atascadero. Bring it back to council. And any further discussion or action?
I'd like to make a comment about our planning department of the free service that we provide, that I don't think any other city or the county does, that if you want to have a project or a remodel job or open up a new business in town, that our staff will almost immediately go meet you at the job site and basically help you pre-plan what you're going to have to do. I think that just makes it easier on everybody and eliminates any of the surprises. I know I've utilized them a couple times with clients, and I think it's a very, very beneficial program that we have. I know if you go down to the county, it costs you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars just to have a meeting with these people. So I really appreciate that program, and I hope that we keep it in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council comments? Councilwoman Fonzie.
Well, with that being said, I'd like to make a motion that the council authorize submittal of the attached 2014 Annual General Plan and Housing Report to the State of California.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, C3, is nominate representatives to the Water Resources Advisory Committee. We'll have a brief staff report, I believe, by our Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. As an incorporated city within the county, Atascadero does have a membership on the Water Resources Advisory Committee. This committee is an advisory group to the Board of Supervisors on matters concerning water resources and policies within the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Currently, there are vacant memberships from the city on there. Previously, the former Public Works Director was the appointed member, and there's an alternate member that's also represents the city in case the member cannot make it. That alternate is also gone. That was a deputy director. Talking with the city manager and polling some others on the RAC, we're recommending that currently the RAC is made up of elected members and also staff members. Staff is recommending that the council appoint a council member as the primary member and the public works director, myself, as the alternate. This way that city is ensuring political and technical representation on the RAC. The RAC does meet monthly on Wednesdays at 1:30, and I'm told that they promptly end after 2 hours. They do not meet typically in July and August, so there is some relief there during the summer months for vacations and whatnot. But with that, I'll turn it over for any questions.
Thank you. Some irony that the Water Committee would not meet in July and August. Must be too depressing, perhaps. Any council questions before we go to the public? Thank you. I do have some thoughts on this, and I do. It's in keeping with our council directive to look at having the council more involved in a lot of these areas. And I think in the past, there have been elected officials involved at this level on the committee, and we haven't in our city. And I think it's wise to get us some more involved in many of these areas with the technical expertise with staff as being recommended. With that, I'm going to open it up to the public. If there's any public input on this item, we'll go forward with some discussion. Seeing no one approach, I'll close public comment. I'm going to bring it back to the council, and I'm going to make a suggestion, given that we have looked at forming liaisons on various categories, and I have already asked Councilwoman Fonzie to take the lead on water issues. I would think this might be something that falls in that area, and think the council should give that consideration. I have Councilman Kelly with a light.
Yes, I would strongly recommend that Roberta does that. She's involved with it right now. I think the continuity is great, but would that conflict with your APCD meetings?
Actually, they're usually out by 12:30 so it's going to be tight.
Because I know it will work. On the deal. So, yeah, that would be my recommendation also.
I would be honored to take it on.
That's an emotion. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay, if no further discussion, I'll ask for a roll call. And I'm going to assume that motion also includes all of the staff's recommendation, our recommendation for a council representative, and that the city engineer will serve as the alternate and assist. So with that, a roll call on that motion.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to council announcements and reports. We can be a little less formal than I like to be usually, but we'll mix in any announcements, reports, committee reports that any council member may have, and I'll just go from my left to my right.
Okay, last week we had a Tascadero T-Bid meeting, and I'm the appointed liaison. A couple of issues that they're looking at. One, the marketing firm that they chose brought up that there's more than one Atascadero logo, and so kind of looking at some consistency, and I think it's something that the city's known for some time and council's known, but you know, that's one thing they're looking at in terms of, you know, do we want to decide what's going to be used and when? So that's a question out there. The other thing is with regards to the visitatascadero.com website is ideally the one that the T-Bid would be a big part of in terms of driving business to the hotels. And so, you know, it's city owned, but who can use it? And so there's some questions there that need to be addressed. I know Rochelle will be meeting with them, as will Marcia, and that might be something that comes before us at some point. I wanted to congratulate Grenda Ernst. She was awarded a Woman of Distinction Award, the Community and Public Service Volunteer Award at Cuesta College last week, and many of us were down there to celebrate with her, and it was a real honor to have someone like that in our community. So congratulations to Grenda. And lastly, we had our Dancing with Our Stars this last weekend, the big library fundraiser. The chief made an excellent airline pilot. We had a lot of different numbers. It was a really fantastic production. Frank Sanchez was the producer of it. Jeannie Malik and the whole gang just put so much effort into it. There were so many people throughout the community that really pulled together like they always do. And it was a wonderful event. Raised $90,000. Still looking to see exactly what all the expenses were, but we're a pretty frugal group. And so a lot of money raised. And a congratulations to Vicki Morse, who was People's Choice and the Grand Champion, raising over $11,000 herself.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie?
Are we doing committee reports as
yes,
well?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Any item you have.
All right. One, I was hoping I would get a little input from those on the council on a program that I'll be visiting tomorrow at the Air Pollution Control District. They have a program with the Air Pollution Control District to help cities monitor their implementation of the Climate Action Plan. That they are hiring through a grant several AmeriCorps volunteers and a person in charge to assist them. And this will be completely grant funded for the first year. But in the second year, they're looking to the cities to see if they'd like to pay for a portion of that salary. And it's my position, and if you would like to chime in, I would appreciate it. But my take on this is we can take care of it ourselves. I see some heads nodding.
I'll endorse that.
Local control, yes.
Very good.
Sounds like you have consensus on that item.
Thank you very much. I did attend a local agency formation commission meeting last week, and there was a clarification on the process for formation of the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin District. And the one thing that may be a little bit interesting for Atascadero is that they're taking a line on a map that is coming from Sacramento that might include a portion of Atascadero into that district boundary. So I will keep you posted on that. This is something that obviously we will need to know about, that I don't think that's something we're interested in participating in. Bob Kelly and I were at a Atascadero Design Review Committee meeting, actually a very interesting one, with the American Care Residential Unit, which is down near the past the Walmart area, but not as far as Home Depot. And this is a residential care unit, and it is asking for the ability to expand from 28 up to 50 units. What was interesting to me was this is the only type of facility of this kind in the entire county. And these people that are in there have mental issues from small to large, but this is what the owner said keeps them off the street and out of the homeless shelters. And so I know this will be coming to our board for further consideration, but it's something I would like to ask the mayor to consider taking on to the mayor's meeting to see if other cities will step up to the plate. Obviously, there's a need for these types of facilities. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Well, I will just touch on a few items we may want to talk about more in the future. There are several topics have come up at the countywide mayor's meeting, which we get each of the mayors in the seven cities together monthly. One thing I've reported on before is the marine sanctuary question. And again, that was discussed. And our consensus was before, and I think it I would recommend it continue to be, we do a wait and see on that item. There is a lot of suggestion of having discussions at council, but I feel strongly that we want to support our sister city, Morro Bay, that has concerns about this and the impact on the fishing industry. And until they have their questions resolved, I don't think I would have an opinion to share with you on that. Another item that's come up quite a bit is the rail safety with transporting products such as oil through the county. And Mayor Marks has brought this up, is probably taken the lead of any mayor in the city and is probably most impacted. And again, this is a topic I've heard from our constituents a time or two. My feeling is, again, I would support the primary issue, which is safety, and it's all of our fire chiefs countywide have weighed in on this. Cal Fire, I think, has taken lead. I know I've talked with Chief Stone on this item, and I think, of course, we're concerned about safety issues, and again, there's a lot of technical aspects. I think with the way the rails are constructed, going over the grade, there's some bottleneck points. But I think, again, I would rely on taking the direction from our police and fire chief on this from a safety standpoint. I'm comfortable with the recommendation from Cal Fire and all of the fire chiefs, and I think just from a consensus standpoint, I'm not going to recommend that we have a hearing on that, as some cities have. You could hear essentially both sides of the argument, but it seems it's kind of come down to a safety question in all cases, with no action by many folks on this topic. And again, so I would, unless council has a desire to go forward and have a discussion on that, I'm comfortable in just going with the chiefs. And I'd ask the chief, could you just give a brief comment on that from your perspective?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The fire service is very concerned about oil by rail in particular. We've been very concerned for years and years and years. One of the reasons that this county stood up the hazardous materials team was due to the voluminous amount of product coming through our city and this county by rail. What's interesting about railway rights is they were set in the early mid-1800s and are regulated by the feds. So while we have voices and concern locally, we have very, very little impact or recourse together from a governmental body. What's interesting is some of the groups that I've worked with, and I do represent California Fire Chiefs Association in San Luis, Santa Barbara, and Ventura County, and we've carried the message back from our areas as directors in these areas to Cal Chiefs, and this is one of the top priorities for California Fire Chiefs Association. So every fire chief and every fire department within the state of California is working with the Office of Emergency Services and the governor to provide safety knowledge so that we know when and what type of products are coming through our community. They're working on an app right now that's in beta testing where every fire agency will be able to use a smart phone or device or PDA to log in and evaluate and to know what product is coming through their district at any time. If that vehicle or train is involved in an accident, we'll know, we'll have the manifest and the bill of ladings for that train. So we are very involved. We hear the community's concerns. We share those concerns greatly from both the training and probably even more importantly, while I think the training is adequate within this county, the protective equipment and the tools to take protective action if we have a catastrophic derailment and leak of one of the, what we call mule trains coming through from San Ardo right now, those trains can be 100 cars long, each car carrying roughly 90,000 gallons of product. So it's kind of forefront of our minds. We're concerned as well as our citizens, and we're working on developing plans and ensuring that we have the training and the methods to combat something like that. About 4 months ago, San Luis, Ventura, and Santa Barbara counties held what's called a California Fish and Wildlife meeting with the OSPRS group. That's a group that responds to emergency derailments, railway spills, both inland, near a waterway, and also on the coast. And we actually met at Lompoc's Vandenberg training facility and met with Department of Fish and Game, expressed our concerns and interests, and Department of Fish and Game is actually leading the charge and our appeal to the feds to pretty much change the standards that regulate the cars and how this product is carried. And that's ultimately what's going to probably provide the best result in making these trains safer.
Thank you. And I think you kind of summed up on the key point that I see, that really jurisdictions have very little input on impact on federal law related to the transportation, though we do have some impact from a safety standpoint, and there are some changes that could occur. And I think, again, my recommendation as the council just supports you and your efforts is the most beneficial for our city. And if there's no objection, I'll go forward with that. Councilman
Fonsi. Just a question. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to have to respond, or maybe the fire chiefs or Cal Fire will be responding to an EIR for that Phillips 66 refinery?
Yeah, the requirements for safety, hazard mitigation, and training on the Phillips site, that language is being drafted right now by fire protection engineers with Cal Fire. Cal Fire has shared that with the local fire chiefs because almost every jurisdiction has rail run through the middle of their jurisdictions, and we have had input on that. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning I'll be in Santa Barbara County meeting with Santa Barbara County Chiefs, and then Thursday I'll be in Ventura all day meeting with Ventura County Chiefs, and this is one of the topics on their agenda as well. So it's kind of nice I'm able to listen to what the thought process is in all three counties and to kind of coalesce that information and then give it back to California Fire Chiefs Association so that we're kind of speaking with a united voice from the united front.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you, Chief, for staying on top of that somewhat complex issue. One other thing that has come up several times at the mayor's meeting that it's still hard for me to believe this could be coming our way, but from all aspects that I hear from the League of California Cities, there's been a number of lawsuits throughout the state regarding representation on councils, and there really is a movement towards having council members elected by district rather than at large. And at this point, every city that's been sued has lost on the issue. And it's normally cities of, you'd expect 100,000 or larger population, but it is something that is hitting basically all cities, and it's a little hard to know how to address the concern. So it is something that will be talked about statewide with League of California Cities. It's something that, you know, perhaps our city attorney might want to check in with League of California Cities. I think we'll be hearing a lot of discussion on this topic in the future.
I'm very familiar with that issue.
Thank you. Well, why don't you consider maybe, when you deem appropriate, maybe giving us an update more accurately.
I can do that.
Thank you. We can just work that into a future calendar. The other thing I'd mention with just touch on, if I'd ask Marcia, I know we've already got a request for agenda items for the upcoming mayor's meeting. If you'd submit the issue on mental health and group homes in relation to dealing with homeless populations, as Councilman Fonsi has suggested, it's a little challenging in that normally group homes are licensed, or actually do not require a license up to 6 beds, and above 6 beds you're required a lot of specialized licensing. Our particular facility in our city was grandfathered in, so to speak, before that law was enacted in California, and so they happen to have 28 beds. And it is a good low-cost alternative to a lot of higher levels of more expensive care, has been an advantage in our community. It would be difficult for other cities to implement, but I think it's an important topic to bring up, so we'll have that discussion. Much like we have ECHO, we have some programs that really are very beneficial in our community and very cost-effective, and it would be good if other cities could put some effort into that as well. I think that's enough to talk about for tonight. And are there any other staff announcements or reports? Seeing none, then we will adjourn. Thank you.